Okay, First Peter chapter 4, starting from verse 12. Go ahead.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. But if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let no one of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
In the verse 12, beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you. Any trials, any problems comes to this world, to you or anyone, it doesn't sound good. People do not like trials. We like all the time happiness and joy and good times. Just think about those people in tsunami. No warning. No one told them that you're going to die. No one gave them notice. Death came so sudden. And not one, but thousands of people died and still dies. And people will blame God. Why God doesn't take care of these people? God so loving, He is so kind, and He is always wants to help. Then who is bringing all these problems? We have the answer. John chapter 10 verse 10 says what?
Yes.
Enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. More abundant life comes from God. Jesus wants to give us eternal life. But when we are born again children of God, there is always testing. There is always trials. If you send your child to the first grade and if he doesn't have exam, he will not go to second grade and third grade and fourth grade. People are afraid of trials and testing. But the trials and testing will come in our way. Enemy brings, but something good comes out of it. If you read Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, please read.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose.
If you are a child of God and you love God, all kinds of trials and tribulations and problems will come that will work together for good.
Amen.
Something good will come out of it if you love the Lord.
Amen.
People, when they have trials and tribulations and problems, they accuse God and they turn away from God. But if you are a child of God, you will go closer to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Because He loves you. Romans chapter 5, and please read verse 3 and 4.
Okay. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope.
All tribulations comes. We go through tribulations, we learn patience. And the patience experience and experience brings hope. Only Christian people have hope. Nobody has hope like we have.
Amen.
We go all kinds of trials and tribulations, but Jesus Christ is with us all the time.
Amen.
You don't see him, but he is there.
Amen.
He is with us all the time. Why? Because he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be always with you.
Amen.
Our God is there all the time.
Yes.
And sometimes when you go through trials and tribulations and problems, we think God has forsaken us. God is not with us. We are suffering. We are having lots of problems. Where is God? God is there with you. God is teaching us that we should abide with him. Come closer to God.
Amen.
James chapter 1, please read verses 2 to 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations.
Okay, now say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse testing.
Yes.
Or tribulation. Not one, many.
Yes. Amen.
Diverse means more than one. If one trial comes, we get shaken. But trials can come many.
Yes.
There is a saying, when it rains, it pours.
Yes.
When the trial comes, one after another, after another, after another. And we say, why this is happening to me? So the word of God says, count it all joy.
Amen.
Just thank God. God is with me.
Amen.
He is taking care of me.
Yes.
He is watching over me.
Yes.
I am not alone. That's the kind of feeling
right.
We should have.
Amen.
In our spirit.
Amen.
God never leaves you alone. When he is always there.
Amen.
Let's read the verse 3. James 1:3.
Know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Okay, again it says, knowing this, trying of your faith worketh patience. When the trial comes, God is testing your faith. The word of God says, when I come, can I find faith in this world?
Yes.
Mark chapter 11 verse 22, it says, have faith in God. Faith comes by what?
Hearing
the word of God.
Yes.
Once you read the word of God, once you study the word of God, your faith is going to increase.
Yes.
When you get discouragement, when you listen to unsaved people's advice. Unsaved people, when talking to you, they will bring unbelief.
Yes.
True.
Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
Who is the what? Author and what? Finisher of our faith. So when the trial comes, don't look left, don't look right. Don't look right or left. Where are you going to look? Look unto Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has given you faith.
Amen.
He is with you on the all trials and tribulation.
Amen.
You go through.
That's right.
So your eyes, your focus should be on Jesus.
Amen.
You remember Peter was walking on the water? No problem. He says, Lord, is that you? He said, yes. If that's you, then you command me to come on the water. He says, okay, come on. Peter started walking on the water.
Yes, he did.
And then what happened? He started looking at the waves.
Amen.
He's a fisherman. He knows how to swim. But now he's in the middle of the sea. And if you're in the middle of the sea, I don't know how far Jesus was. But he was coming. When he saw the waves, he's drowning. He took eyes of Jesus.
Amen, that's right.
If you're focusing Jesus Christ,
amen,
you have no problem.
Amen.
If you start looking at the world,
yes,
if you start looking at your problem, how much big tumor you have, how much big cancer you have, what kind of cancer I have, if you focus on that, you're going to lose faith. Looking unto Jesus, He has created me. He knows everything about me.
Yes.
I'm not going to focus on my problem.
That's right.
Yesterday I was doing the radio program, and the Word of God says, if you have faith, you can tell this mountain, be thou removed, and He will obey you.
Amen. Yes.
Jesus talked to the tree. Tree obeyed. Sometimes when you talk to the things which doesn't have life, people might be thinking you're crazy. Jesus talked to the tree. He said, you can talk to the mountain. You can talk to your tumor. Say, tumor, I command you in the name of Jesus, be thou removed.
Amen.
It will obey you.
Amen.
You have to have faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the words for James 1:4.
But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
We do not have patience. That's why we have everything fast. Fast food, fast coffee, fast everything. Instantly, you want instant. Even though if you go in a fast food restaurant and they make a little bit delay, you don't have patience to wait. Say, let's go to another restaurant. Or you're waiting for the stop sign, or waiting for the signal to come. You see some people before the green comes, yellow signal, they say here, they start going. No patience. And that's why they get into trouble.
Amen. That's right.
The Word of God says, let the patient do his work.
Amen.
And then you will be perfect in everything.
Amen.
God wants to teach us something, but we don't want the lesson. We want to go ahead of God. God is training us in every situation.
Amen.
Go to the 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7.
That the trial of your faith be much more precious than a gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That means your faith trial is much more precious than anything in the world.
Amen.
Gold has no value in the sight of God.
Amen.
How much you are rich, how much you are poor, how much money you have, that doesn't count.
Amen.
How much faith you have.
Amen.
That's what God is looking
at. That's right.
Do you have faith in God? Somebody says, I don't have faith, but I don't need faith.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of money. I have lots of servants. I have lots of things. Who cares about faith? Who cares about God? The time will come.
Uh-oh.
Your money will not save you.
Amen. That's right.
The time will come. You may have billions of dollars.
Yes.
But there won't be no remedy. Money cannot buy everything.
Amen.
But faith will.
Glory.
By faith, you can do anything, but money and the silver and gold will be dust.
Amen.
In the sight of God. So the Word of God says the gold goes for the purification. You know how the gold comes. Gold doesn't come falling from heaven. You go and dig the mountains and go and get the dust all together and dust and everything. If you look at that, you would not see gold. Then they put it and purify it one time, and then dust the ghost, and then put it again and put it again, and then there is nothing blemish remaining. Then they get pure gold. They have stages of gold. But the Word of God says, why cannot you allow God to test your faith, or the enemy testing you? God will make a way when there is no way.
That's right.
Jesus says what? I am the way.
Amen.
Let Jesus lead you. Sometimes you get astray. You don't know where to go. Call upon Jesus.
Amen.
He will lead you, guide you in the right path.
Amen.
So that's why he's saying your trials and fiery trials and all of these things comes to you. What's going to happen to you? He says, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God is going to say, you are so precious in my sight. Well done, my servant.
Amen.
That's what we want to hear.
Yes.
God is going to praise you. You are a great man of God. You are a great child of God. You pass your test. Welcome home, my son, my daughter. We are just traveling in this road. But we have to go for perfection. We go faith to faith. Trial after trial will come. But he says, when Jesus Christ comes, all the glory, all the honor, you will find in the sight of God.
Amen.
That is our calling. Go back to our chapter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13.
But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
But rejoice, how much? As much as you can. Rejoice and thank God that you are a partakers of what? Christ's suffering. That means Jesus Christ suffered for me. I'm going to suffer for him. Jesus Christ did not give us salvation so easy. He was hanging on the cross.
Amen.
He took your sorrow, he took your pain, he took your sin, and he died and took our death penalty on him. And now we are free. Somebody says, how come? If I'm free, why these trials and tribulations and problems are coming? We just learned. So you can be more precious than gold.
Amen.
And that's what the word of God is saying. But rejoice. And what? All the suffering comes, then you would know that God is going to make you precious like him. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says, now we are the children of God. We do not know what is going to happen. But one thing we know, when he comes, we will be just like him.
Amen.
So what he says? Then he says, so purify yourself as he is pure. Like gold goes to the fiery trial to purify, let us go through all kinds of trials. When we go through, we are going to be purified. But we should not be murmuring. We should not be grumbling. We should not be complaining when we go through all kinds of trials. Say, oh Lord, where are you? Why are you doing this to me? God is not doing. Let me tell you again. Who is doing? Enemy is doing.
Amen.
But God gives you way out. If you are a child of God, and all the trials and troubles comes to you, don't take your eyes off of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the only one
can
carry you. You remember that story, somebody wrote it?
Footprints.
Footprints.
Yes.
And the thoughts is like this. The person was saying, Jesus Christ is always with me. And I have a problem right now. And I see only one footsteps. And that person is thinking, that's me. And where is Jesus now? When I need it most. Where are you, Jesus?
Uh-huh.
What Jesus says?
You.
My child, you are in my arms.
Yes.
I am the one carrying you.
Yes.
You see these steps? That's not yours. That's mine.
Amen.
So God is saying, when you have a trouble, I am carrying you.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
What the word of God says.
That's right.
Put your burden at the foot of
That's
Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And leave it there.
Yes.
Because Jesus Christ promised to carry you.
Amen.
He says, I will carry you.
Amen.
I will give you peace. All our sorrow and tears and problems we have in this world, if you focus on Jesus Christ,
Amen.
He says, I'm going to carry you.
Amen.
He says in Isaiah 64, he says, even your gray hair,
yes.
I will carry you. And how can you compare me with someone? You cannot compare Jesus Christ with anyone. Not with your wife or husband or brother or sister or daughter or son. They might love you, but no one loves like Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone loves one another, but there is something selfish love in there. But God loves you. There is no selfishness. That's what He gave His life for us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14.
If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified.
When you go through trials and tribulations, and somebody says, why God is not zapping my enemies? Why they are flourishing? Why those people are doing better than us? Some people start harassing Christians, burning their churches, burning their houses. And people start thinking, where is God? I said, whatever you do, you're going to have your punishment. Somebody said, the God is punishing? No, it's simple like this. God allows people to do certain things in a certain times. When you go beyond that, you're going to have your own punishment. God does not send anybody to hell, do you know?
Amen.
The people go themselves to hell.
Amen.
The hell was prepared for the devil.
Amen, that's right.
Not prepared for mankind.
That's right.
But we are going willingly, listening to devil and perishing.
Amen.
But when we are in the God's side, then God's blessing comes upon us. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. Book of Romans 8, 17 and 18.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
If you are children of God, then you have partnership with Jesus Christ. God doesn't have grandchildren.
Yeah.
He has children.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ came to make you and me a child of God.
Amen.
Whatever He has, He wants to share with you. When we are the children of God, we are the heirs. Everything what God has, everything what Jesus has, is belong to you and me.
Amen.
So somebody says, give me good stuff. Suffering, Jesus, you take. But all the glory, you give it to me. What is saying in here? Please read that one more time.
And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified.
I'm a partner with Jesus. I'm the co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Then why don't you suffer with him? Why don't you take part in suffering? I said, how can I suffer? He died on the cross. Do you think I should be putting myself on the cross and nailed off the cross? No. He did that already. Now what kind of suffering? Once you go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and they hate you, they don't want to listen about Jesus Christ, that is the suffering you're doing for the sake of Jesus Christ. You have to allow yourself, no matter what the world is going to say, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And many people giving their life for Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, let's read verses 1 to 3 one more time.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Like him. That's what our calling is. I'll read the following verse.
For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Okay, purify yourself. How? As he is pure. Our God is holy. He wants you to be holy.
Yes.
And we are going to go to holy place.
Yes.
That's called heaven. Our place where the God reigns.
Amen.
Where is the holiness reigns. So if somebody comes to you, tell them, I don't want to go to the wrong place. I want to go to the right place where Jesus Christ came from. That's the heaven I'm going to go. Okay, let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, Spirit of God will be coming over you, watching over you. Every move what the enemy is doing, he is going to watch. And what he's trying to say, when this happens, what happened? On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. God knows your enemies.
Amen.
He knows how to defeat them.
Amen.
He says in the book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 11, he says, once you start giving your offerings and everything, that's in verse 10. 11th verse, he says, I will fight your devourer.
Amen.
When? When you sold out to God. When you give everything belong to you, give it your tithes and offerings, and just sit and relax. He said, I am going to hover. I am going to watch over you. And every enemy coming against you, I'm going to defeat that enemy. That's the power of God. He says, you don't have to worry about your enemy. He says what? Revenge is mine. If your enemy hungry, feed him.
Amen.
If he's thirsty, give him water.
Yeah.
Don't worry what he has done to you. Revenge is mine. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
You don't take the law in your hand. Just like government says, if somebody came and knocked at your door and you'd come and shoot him, you say, I'm doing my for my protection. But sometimes you shoot the wrong person. You remember one time there was a case going on. The man shoot the wrong guy.
Yeah.
So you might be doing the wrong thing. If you are afraid, call the police. Let them handle it. You're not supposed to kill somebody without knowing it. So the word of God is saying, God is watching over you. I have seen some ministers, they are carrying guns. They say, I'm a minister, but look at this. I have a gun. I'm not telling they are wrong or they are right. But the word of God says, if God is not watching,
amen,
the watchman's watching
is
in
vain. Right.
You have seen the prime minister was killed by the guards. And the many people, they got killed with their own people. And last time we heard, the man who was coming against the God's people, he went to his own temple and his own son killed him. There is no safety. But when you abide in God,
amen,
no one has power to destroy you.
Amen.
God watches over us.
Amen.
That's why I tell people, don't be afraid of anybody. Read the Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Okay, go ahead.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
How do you say? Boldly.
Amen.
God is my helper. I'm not going to be afraid of anybody, because God is watching over me. I don't have to carry a gun. If I'm a servant of God, why am I worrying? If my time has come, I say bye-bye world. I'm happy to go to heaven. As long as God keeps me in my ministry, I will serve him. If my time has come, no doctor, no one can keep me. God is my helper and he will keep me. Okay, let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters.
If you are a born-again child of God, only you suffer for Christ's sake.
Amen.
We have time for Jesus, not for busybody. So the word of God says, let none of you means not a single person, suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matter. Let's mind our business.
Mind our business. Amen.
Don't go and find faults in somebody's matter.
That's right.
Somebody's wife, somebody's husband,
Amen.
Somebody's family.
Yeah, amen.
Let's take care of us.
That's right. Amen.
And focus on Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
That's what Christians are supposed to do.
Yes.
Some people try to go advise somebody, hey, you should not be doing this, you should not be doing this, and there in their house is a darkness.
Amen.
The people come to give you advice, like lawyers and soothsayers and all these people who give advice. Ask them, do you have a good relationship with your wife? Do you have a good relationship with your sons? Do you have a good relationship with God? No. How can you tell me how to live my life?
Amen.
You understand? That's what the word of God is saying. We have to do what God says. If your life is not right, you are not going to tell somebody how to live life. God has given us warning after warning after warning. If you don't take the warning, the word of God says, then what? There will be sudden destruction.
Amen.
That's what happened, tsunami.
Amen.
There is no time to repent. There is no time to say, oh Lord, it's too late. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16.
Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
Now again he says, if any man, somebody says, only man has to suffer. There is no word, any lady. Any man means any human being.
Yes.
If you believe Jesus Christ, any person, the word of God says, if any person or anyone be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Doesn't say man or woman, any person, right? So it says, any person suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Jesus Christ says, if somebody hit you here, what do you do? Say another, turn another cheek. We are Christians.
Amen.
We have to let the whole world know that we are belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if people are persecuting, let the people know.
Amen.
We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen. That's right.
We are not going to hide. You know, some people believe in going in the underground, and there are underground churches. If you are a child of God, you are not going to hide.
No. Amen.
You come to surface and face the truth.
Amen.
If your blood is shed in the name of Jesus, many Christians will come from that town, from that place.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is watching over you.
Amen.
He says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. That means keep on glorifying. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
When you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that gives you a power of God. You have the wisdom and power of God to preach the gospel to others. When you are weak, the word of God says, when I'm weak, I'm strong.
Yes.
Jesus Christ gives you power to preach the gospel.
Amen.
He gives you wisdom to preach the gospel. He protects you. John, they tried to kill him many times. I'm talking to John, the disciple of Jesus Christ. And when they heard that Jesus says, if this man stays until I come, what he ought to do? You follow me, Peter. Don't worry about John. So the people start thinking, John is never going to die. So they try to give him a hard time. They even put him in a boiling oil. They were not able to kill him. Finally, they said, let this crazy man go and let him go. And that's the time he wrote the book of Revelation. What I'm trying to say, when the time comes, we will die. Amen. But we don't have to be afraid of dying. He says, when you preach the gospel of God, that's the power of God.
Amen.
God gives you power to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gives you energy. He gives you strength. Amen. He gives you wisdom,
yes,
to do
right.
it for Amen. The glory of God.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Please read.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Unto you it is given. What is given? He has given you everything what you need to preach the gospel,
Amen.
To live in this life. Amen. Everything. There's nothing lacking to a Christian man when you go and stand and preach. I guarantee you, you take a hall, you take a stadium, go in the name of Jesus, stand in there and give the call, say, if there is anyone wants healing, come on here in the name of Jesus, and stand there and thousands of people watching you, God will do miracles.
Amen.
He will give everything what you need, and God will do great things. But we need courage. We should not be ashamed of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I go on the pulpit in the big stadium and thousands of people listening, I'm not afraid of anybody. I tell them, Jesus Christ is going to do miracle. Bring anyone right now. And Jesus does miracle. I saw blind eyes open. I saw deaf ear opening. I saw lame people walking. I saw lots of miracles in my life. So I know God does these miracles. So what he's trying to say, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but what? But also suffer for his sake. I rented some of the halls. They never gave that hall to anyone. I was the first one to rent big stadiums in India, and they said nobody ever rented this. You will have persecution. The Hindu people will bother you and this and that. But I said, if God is with me and if God is for me,
yes,
who can be against me?
Amen.
One day I did the big meeting in a big stadium, and after that I had to go for the baptism service, and the baptism pool, we didn't have it in the church, and I had to go like a 15 to 20 miles. So I went to the like a Greyhound bus stand, and I said, where is the manager? And they said, this is the manager. I went and talked to the manager. I said, sir, we want to charter the bus. And he said, well, for what purpose? I said, I have to take these people for baptism. He said, okay, I'll come. I'm the manager. And I'll take the bus. And I want to see. I saw you other day on that city hall. That's a big center. And I was impressed. And I want to come and see what you do. And we were having tambourine and singing and bus, and we went singing and praising God. Baptism done, we came back, put the bus there, and I said, sir, how much I have to pay? He says, none. God did a miracle. I was not afraid of anybody, but the top of that, the man gave me free ride and no money. So that's what we have to believe. If God is with me, yes, that God is going to do signs and wonders and miracles.
Amen.
He said, I have given you everything.
Amen.
What you do, be ready to suffer for his sake.
Amen.
I don't have to worry. When you go through these trials and tribulation, you don't feel pain.
Amen.
He gives you grace. Okay, now two verses are remaining. Let's go back and finish this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18 and 19.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
What he's trying to say? If the righteous people has to go through all trials and tribulations and all kinds of suffering and problem, do you think all the worldly people will go to heaven easily? People are thinking, don't worry, we have a problem in this world. But when we die, we will be all in the heaven. That's not the heaven we preaching. So the word of God is saying, if the righteous suffers in this world and he is going to heaven with all the trials and tribulation, where the sinners will be? All the sinners, you go and talk to them on the street. Do you believe in heaven? Yes, I do. And when I die, I'll go to heaven. I can live all kinds of sinful life, but when I die, automatically I go to heaven. Doesn't work that way. Okay, let's read verse 19.
Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator.
Okay, what I was trying to say, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. What is trying to say? If you know God is watching over you, if you are doing the God's will, if you're suffering in this world for God's sake, then what you say, Lord, my life is not mine. My life is yours. Yes. The word of God says, sacrifice your body as a living sacrifice to God. Say, Lord Jesus, I am sold out to you. Everything what I have is yours. So he says, give it to God and he will take care. He will take care of you. And then he says, what you do, say, Lord, you are the creator. And what he says, faithful creator.
Amen.
That means he has invented faith. He has given you faith to live on. So you say, Lord, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Shall we rise? We are not going to look left or right. When the trouble comes, look unto Jesus Christ. He is the one going to protect you from all your trials and all your tribulations and all your sorrows. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. All the trials and tribulation coming all around us, but you are going to make us more holy, more precious, and more useful vessels of God. Lord Jesus, there are so many people dying without God and without Christ. Give us grace to take this glorious gospel, the message of salvation, to every person. Lord, we thank you for keeping us up to now. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds our future. You know the end from the beginning.
Yes, Lord.
All the trials we are going through right now, but you are watching over us. So your word says, submit ourselves to the faithful Creator. So Lord, we give ourselves to you. You take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.